Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I was reminded the other day of a few short years ago. I was about 16, so it wasn't that long ago. I had the joy of going to a Boy Scout Jamboree in Sydney, and I'd grown up in a fairly sheltered Adelaide environment, and Sydney was just an amazingly huge place, nothing like it is today, of course. Part of our adventure was to go to Luna Park. Whole group of 14, 15, 16 year old guys headed out for a free day, caught the train out of Campbelltown, unsupervised into Sydney Central, and found our way to Luna Park. And I can remember going on the Mad Mouse. Who can remember the Mad Mouse in Adelaide? White knuckled, go around the corners, hang on to the dealer. Well, that was nothing compared to the one in Sydney. And it's nothing compared to the roller coasters of today. But you know, for a young boy who'd never experienced anything like that, because my mum and dad would never let me go on anything silly like that. Why would you waste your money on a 2-minute ride of hell, you know? So we all decided to go on, and it was so good we went back again and again and again, because part of the jamboree, we were given a free day pass. So we took advantage of a full free day pass to Luna Park. Well, by the end of the day, we're going around that Mad Mouse with our hands in the air. There's no white knuckled fear. I feel like I'm going to throw up my lunch. My goodness, my heart's beating so fast. What if we don't make that turn? What if we get to the bottom of the dipper and we go up the other side and keep going? And then I thought about the joy ride of Jesus. White knuckled, full of fear, not knowing what to expect, not knowing where to go. Jesus comes into my life. Hallelujah. No more fear. No more wondering what the next turn is going to bring. No more shocked by the unexpected, but expecting the unexpected. And last week we talked about the difference of where we are. And the title of my message, you remember, was Location, Location, Location. That where you are located is a whole lot different to sometimes the actual condition you're in. So we can just turn our Bibles just quickly to the book of Psalms. David writes as a great psalmist, Psalm 16. I love the heart of David because he's a man who journeyed life just as you and I journeyed life. The decisions he had to make, the direction he had to take was not always a good direction and a good decision. He mucked up just the same way you and I have mucked up in our past and have still an opportunity to muck up in the future. We're not perfect. We're not fully arrived yet. But he writes this amazing psalm. And I want to read it from verse 1 this morning, if I may. He starts off, and as I said last week, this is a poem of David, probably intended to record memorable thoughts. Keep and protect me, O God, for in you I have found refuge, and in you do I put my trust and hide myself. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good beside or beyond you. As for the godly, the saints who are in the land, they are the excellent, the noble, and the glorious, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who choose another God. Their drink offerings of blood, which I will not offer, or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen and assigned portion, my cup. You hold and maintain my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good heritage. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Yes, my heart instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, verse 9, my heart is glad, and my glory, my inner self rejoices. My body too shall rest and confidently dwell in safety. For you will not abandon me to Sheol, the place of the dead, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Verse 11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures evermore. We looked at the condition of things where we are. That happiness is the product of condition. But joy is a product of location. We looked at the life of Paul, even though he was in prison, chained between guards, his freedom gone, abused and whipped. What writes to the church in Philippi, excuse me, and he says, rejoice or have joy in at least 18 distinct verses. I believe that sometimes the reason why we as Christians find ourselves in this place of being down and out, not up but at the bottom, not experiencing the mountaintop but being in the valleys, it's because sometimes we focus too much on the condition rather than where we should be, which is our location. And so we read through Psalms like this beautiful psalm in Psalm 16. I think we should mentally ourselves embrace that fullness or that concept of the idea of in his presence. The presence of God himself is fullness of joy. You know, we say scriptures like he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But the Holy Spirit's promise through Jesus that he would be with us always. That we're in his presence forever. But like Myrna so boldly testified, it only took a look at a bank statement, it only took a follow-up letter to throw her life into what would appear to be turmoil, uncertainty, insecurity. But we know Myrna loves God. We know that she seeks the Lord. We know in our hearts that David was correct when he stated, in his presence is fullness of joy. You know, when I first met Pastor Robin, she was just a 17-year-old blonde, gorgeous chick. I was a couple of years older, handsome, rugged, hair down to my shoulders. But I wanted to be with her all the time. I wanted to be around her. I used to travel from the southern suburbs out to the eastern suburbs at 7:30 in the morning to drive her into the city to work and then drive back to Marion Shopping Centre where I work. Quite often during my lunch break, I'd drive into the city and take her out for lunch from Edwardstown into the city, lunch out, traffic and back again just to be with her. At the end of the day, I'd go and pick her up and drive her home and drop her at her mum and dad's place, go home to my mum and dad's place for tea, and in the evening, drive back to pick her up. Until the day I had my driver's license taken from me. Bush bike. Buses. For both of us. Because we enjoyed being together so much. I didn't go out there in the morning to take her to work on my push bike. I didn't go into the city on my push bike for lunch with her. But at the end of the day, I would go home, I would hop on my push bike, and I would ride my push bike out to Roslyn Park, the top end of the parade there at Norwood. spend the evening there with her and then ride my push bike home. Midnight, 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning. Because I enjoyed the presence. We couldn't go far. You can't take a girl out on a date very far on a push bike. She had hers, I had mine, but we preferred to stay in her parents' house and just drink coffee and talk. But how much deeper, how much fuller is the presence of God Himself? You know, we say He never leaves us, never forsakes us, but how much are we aware in our day-to-day life of His presence right there? When we're facing that hard task and our minds filled with a myriad of ways that we can tackle it and a myriad of ways of doing what's doing and thinking about what we're going to do in the evening and what we're going to do on the weekend and how the kids are behaving and all those things, how much we must forget we're still in His presence. He's still in ours. God loves to be in your presence. He loves to be involved in your life. And it's about location. Doesn't matter whether your head is spinning. Doesn't matter whether all hell is breaking loose against you. He's right there. And I love the way David captured that thought and puts it on paper. In His presence is fullness of joy. The verse doesn't start there. It starts, "You will show me the path of life." He's talking to God, he's talking to His creator, he's talking to His protector, he's talking to His provider, he's talking about His everything in life. And he said, "You, God, will show me the path of life." How many of us said those sort of words and yet still steer in our own direction on a multitude of occasions, on a multitude of choices and decisions? Let's be honest here this morning. His presence is always there because He never leaves us and never forsakes us. He loves to be in your presence just like you love to be in His. He's not on a white-knuckled fear of God, churning stomach, wanting to throw up because fear is so great. Experience. He wants you to have the joy ride of your life in His presence. Come with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul writes again to the church. I'm so glad Paul was a writer. I'm so glad that his letters to the church just go on in history. I just want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. I'm going to discount the Amplified. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17 from the King James Version. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. Rejoice, have your joy renewed continually or always, and pray without ceasing. Can I put it this way this morning? You and I must pursue His presence if we want joy. Amen, Pastor. That's good preaching. We're in the job of pursuing so many things so hard, with so much determination and vigilance, only to discover that what we've been working and saving and pushing and striving for is not really what we want. We've got it. It's in my possession. I've worked hard for this. It's in my house. Oh dear, what do I do with it now? How many women in their cupboards have got gadgets, accessories, machines? Don't worry, fellas, your turn's next. And if you're honest and did a spring clean through your kitchens and your storage cupboards, you go, why did I ever buy that? Have we actually ever used that? It looks so good on the infomercials. Why did I bother? And for men, how many tools have we got in our shed that we've never used, that look good when we're walking through Bunnings, Mitre 10? Got to have one of those, and I've used it once. Could have borrowed it off my next door neighbour. It cost me less. Location, location, location. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Your joy, my joy, our joy is connected to our connectedness to His presence. Now I can say hello to Lindsay from this distance. Say hello to Barry up the back from this distance. That's okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But on a Sunday morning when Lindsay comes in, I go, hi. I go, hi, how's your week been? Our connectedness to joy is based on our connectedness to God. You want a little bit of joy? Hi Barry, love to chat. Sorry, Lindsay, haven't got time. I didn't notice the envelope Barry had in his coat pocket to give us, to bless us. Any happiness anyway. I didn't know that pearler that Dennis was going to speak to me that he discovered as a revelation in the Word this week. But our connectedness determines our level of joy in the Lord. See, in His presence, David said, is fullness of joy. In His presence, not in His distant relationship, not in His just, I'd love to chat, Pam, but I'm really way too busy. But when we need God, how connected do we want to be? God, I want that answer and I want it now. In our generation, don't we? Paul's got the picture here and he just puts in those two simple verses, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. I think one of the reasons we struggle with that scripture we had out of James a few weeks, consider all pure joy when we go through trials and tribulations, is based on our failure to taste the contentment that comes as being a result of being in His presence. Somebody said to me the other day, how do you fit everything in your day? I seek the Lord. I'm like the rain. I seek the Lord first up. I said, priorities, Lord. What are we going to do today? Like you, I get caught up in things and I get distracted. And I get, you know, off the target, off the goal, whatever. But I find myself going back and say, Lord, what are we going to do now? Put that down. Never asked you to do that. Don't do this. See, I love this passage in the Psalms because it even talks about a contentment in the night. It talks about a restfulness in the night. I don't have to go to sleep worrying about what my tomorrow is going to look like. Because I'm in that position of knowing my connectedness to the Lord brings joy into whatever I'm doing, no matter what the situation. On Friday, we had a phone call here from one of the local councillors to verify a spot to speak at the council coming up tomorrow week, about our vision for our community centre and our vision as a church. And I rang him back Friday afternoon. It was getting late. I'd finished what I needed to do, and I rang him back, and he said, what are you doing ringing me on your day off? Said to him, what else is the pastor going to do on his day off but ring people like you? So we spoke for about 45 minutes about what the council would be expecting of me, and then it drifted off into our stand as a church in this community. probably another 45 minutes, him just asking questions and raising things. I finished the conversation with him, so it's been a fairly lengthy conversation. And Pastor Robin says to me, "Doesn't that guy hate church?" I said, "He does. But I still believe he loves God, but from a distance." But we can connect with people. Dennis was sharing a testimony with me earlier this morning. We can connect with people. That starts off at a distance. And when that strength, that inner knowing that you have in your heart brings that connectedness closer, things begin to shift in that other person's life or that other family's life or that other circumstance. I know the hurt, the pain that this young man has gone through in his past. He hasn't opened up to me about it yet, one-on-one. But he's heading down that track of trusting men and women of God again, building relationship that will bring a benefit not just to the church, not just to the city of Agava, but the whole of our community. And I think he gets that. That God is not against the community. God is actually for the community. That his church is not a separate part of the community, it's a very vital part of the community. And the protocol is this. I have to write an email to the new CEO of the city of Victor Harbour to ask if I can have a 10-minute presentation to council or a 20-minute extension of a presentation. She then writes to the mayor to see if I've got his tick of approval to do it all. Then I'll be open to questions from other councillors about what I'm going to bring, how long I really need to speak to, blah, blah, blah. But he says, "You know what? With your standing in the community, we know the mayor's going to say yes. And we know from the impression you gave the other night at the public meeting, the CEO's going to say, I need to talk to you before that time, Pastor Luke." You see, my connectedness with God is starting to pay fruit. It's starting to bring forth connection with a community that don't want to know anything about God, don't have a need for God in their lives, but can experience firsthand from people just like you and I that God is worth pursuing. Amen? When we lack intimate relationship, when we lack abiding in his presence, you and I as a result will have lack of joy. Your level, my level, our level of pursuit of his presence will determine our level of joy. You see, joy was robbed from Myrna when she received that letter. Joy was robbed from Tony when he had that initial pain in his tooth. He said that when I turned over, I touched that sore spot. It disturbed my sleep. You see, joy can be robbed, but in the presence, in his presence, in the presence of the Lord God himself, there is what? Fullness of joy. It doesn't matter what position you're in. It doesn't matter what you're looking at. If you're located in him, if that's where you're seated, in heavenly places, far above all earthly realm, at the right hand of the Father. Friends, it doesn't matter what fiery darts are coming, you can stand. Amen? Let's look at the book of Habakkuk. Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 3. Excuse me. Verses 17 through to 19. Got a good Bible? It's on page 1200. Habakkuk chapter 3, reading verses 17 and 19. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the product of the olive fails and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will, what? Rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the victorious God of my salvation. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet, and will make me to walk, not stand still in terror, but to walk, the Amplified says. He will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and to make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility. Here's the condition. Verse 17. The fig trees do not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines. The product of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food. Though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there are no cattle in the stalls. That's the condition. Broke, busted, disgusted, embarrassed, empty. Sounds like we're reading out of the book of Job, doesn't it? Habakkuk speaks about his condition. But he says, this is not my location. Yet, look at that first word, verse 18. Yet I will what? Rejoice in the Lord my God. I will what? Restore that joy. Even though there's nothing I can base my life on, Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will praise him. I'm literally turning cartwheels for joy, knowing that God's still with me. He's not against me. He's counting on God's rule to prevail. He says, I'm taking it to heart and I gain strength from that. I'm going to be like that deer that can climb the mountains. And I feel now like I'm the king of the mountains. You will make my feet like the hind's feet, it says. God will do that for you. Friends, I believe today is your day to forget about the past. It's your day to push back the past. It's your day to not focus on your condition. I understand that your relationships may not be what you're expecting to be. I understand your finances are perhaps not what you're believing for. I understand you've been pursuing something and you're disappointed you haven't pursued it and finalized it yet. I understand that your barn may be empty. I understand that the fruit you're believing for is not on the tree. I believe with all my heart that today is the day you need to pursue His presence. And in pursuing His presence, you will find that fullness of joy. And on top of that, you'll discover that the pleasures that are in His right hand. His right hand is the hand of fellowship. His right hand is the hand of provision. His right hand is the hand of victory. You know anything about soldiering? Most swords were held in the right hand, most shields were held on the left arm. Fight with the right. Deliver with the right, protect with the left, ward off with the left. I believe this is a day of turnaround. I believe that as I've been speaking about this joy, you've gone, well, really all I'm after is happiness. Happiness never foots the bill, it's always short-sighted. Joy is what God has promised. Joy is what He wants to fulfill. Joy is what He wants you to finish with in your life. Joy of knowing that He's with you every step of the way. Joy of knowing when you've got a decision to make, Holy Spirit will give you the answer. Joy of knowing even though the whole world, like here in Habakkuk, it's falling apart, that your joy of being in His presence will bring strength, will bring power, will bring provision, will bring answer. Amen. Your fullness of joy will determine what overflows in every area of your life. You want a half a measure? That's a good answer. It was quick too. You want a three-quarter measure? Do you want a full measure? Jesus didn't half fill those water jars. He filled them to the brim. David says, in your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. Colossians 2, 9 and 10, and let's finish with that. I promised Pastor Robin I'd finish on time today. I'll do my best, honey. One quick landing to do, as Joyce Meyer used to say. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. For in Christ, everyone say, in Christ. Where are you found today? Good. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, everyone say, in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Come on, you didn't say it. In Christ, you have been brought to fullness. I want you to ponder that for a moment. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Now, how many here today are in Christ? Anyone? Only a few of us. Well, that's surprising. But we're all in Christ. In Christ, if you're in Christ today, then the fullness of the deity which is in Christ is now in you. I can't put a brick into a bucket of water and not have that brick covered in the fullness of the water that's in that bucket, providing the bucket's big enough to take the brick, of course. Likewise, if Christ, the bucket, if I can use Christ as a bucket now, sorry. You're okay with that? The fullness the deity, the fullness of heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, encapsulated in that bucket. Big bucket, by the way, about this tall. And I step into that bucket, which I have. I'm now in Christ. And the fullness, the deity, the fullness of heaven, the fullness of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit now resides in me. There's a fullness. I'm immersed, I'm covered, I'm saturated in the fullness of heaven. Anything I need, according to His promises, I can ask and I can expect to receive. If that doesn't bring joy to someone's life, nothing will. Anything. John 15, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, what does it say? Ask me anything and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me, I'm in Christ. I intend to remain in Christ. I'm not moving away. And I know He's not. Then I can ask whatever I'm in need of. This is not a selfish, I want. This is a genuine need in my life. Ask whatever I want and it shall be given unto me. Joy. Right in the middle of that hellhole, right in the middle of that stuff that's going on, I can ask with joy in my heart, Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy, in your presence is fullness of grace, in your presence is fullness of provision, in your presence is fullness of love, in your presence is fullness of peace. Whatever I'm seeking, I can ask and I have an expectation to receive. Amen? Next week, I want to look at what the word, when it says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I want to tease that message out. And I've called the title of the message already, Jesus Ped. P-E-D. Jesus Performance Enhancing Deposit. It's a performance enhancing deposit. That's what His joy is. He deposits it within you, so you can perform as to your calling that He's placed within you. Without me, you can do nothing, Jesus said again in John chapter 15. Without abiding in the vine, without being connected, you can try all your life, but you're not going to perform with that level of performance for his name's sake, for the kingdom's sake, unless you've got that in you. Amen?